The Dod Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dod Fox Podcast. I'm Paul. He's Ronnie. Just a couple of diddies spending their Sunday talking about yet another Tannadice defeat for James McPake. It might just be the Trust Trophy, but that's now seven unbeaten for the Shed. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dod Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, Diddy Cup Review, voicemails, Paul's good, bad and ugly, Morton preview, loan report, the women's team are A to Z of Dundee United, on this day with the Arab Archive, and have you heard about the haircut equilibrium theory? You will soon. It's all coming up on episode 207 of the Dod Fox Podcast.
Hi, this is Maurice Malpas, and you're listening to the Dod Fox Podcast.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dod Fox Podcast with the Miller Thompson forgetting Paul McNichol and the modern-day macho man, Ronnie Costello. Let's just address that right away.
Oh, I had a howler.
What happened?
I had a howler last week.
And how many people tell you?
A good few people. So what Rondo's referring to, for those that dinna gie a monkeys or listen to the loan report, is that I reported... because I did my due diligence and my background checks that Miller Thompson obviously is out with an injury because he'd done his hamstring a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't bother checking the Montrose game last week, if I'm being totally honest.
And he got, what, 5 minutes off the bench? Or?
A wee bit more than that he got last week, yeah. He played the Hale game.
Nice.
He played the Hale game during Dumfries, yeah. So I will touch on it again in this week's loan report, but I had a howler. And I also, that was not my only howler last week, Rondo. I did tell everybody that the women's team hadn't won anything. Couldn't score a goal, and they did. They picked up a point, and it was a game that was it. So how I forgot that, I don't know. But again, I'll touch on that when I get to the women's team. But hopefully, to save myself a wee bit here, some minor good news, Rondo. Think back to pre-COVID times, and we played a very small part in a wee bit of fundraising that went on for a certain United fan over in Argentina. COVID came along, and that put the kibosh on our buddy Augustin's plans to come over. However, it looks like it's back on, and hopefully, all being well, we'll get him over for the Arbroath Air, and I think there's another game, end October time. So hopefully somebody's tell Augustin that it's been moved to Friday night, and it's not going to ruin any of his plans. But the plan is to get Augustin back over.
Mm. I was convinced you were about to tell us you were announcing your stag do there.
No, there's no stag do's.
That's
no.
What I thought was happening. I was getting awfully excited.
You
know that I'm no excited for Augustine to come across, but I was getting awfully excited for a wee stag do there.
Yours will be a four mile.
I thought the Reaper band was getting visited in Hamburg. I thought we were going peace, love, and anything else happens behind the doors.
No.
I was
yours will be before mine. And I'll tell you right now, I'll no be there. Okay.
Too old for these type of things now. Too old. So there we go. A nice couple of bits for you last week.
Mm.
The Fox Pass, as we would call it.
Shocker.
A nice faux pas for Mr. So basically, a couple of Dod Fox facts appeared last week for
the
first time in ages.
Yep.
The best part being, you were at any of the games.
Mm.
Another end, you couldn't be bothered checking.
It's not that I couldn't be bothered. Like, it's just, I genuinely thought, oh, he's done his hamstring. He'll be out for a few weeks. So I didn't bother checking. It was not like I couldn't be bothered. I just didn't. So, two howlers, but what can I say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all fun and games, isn't it? It's always interesting. Anyway, it has been the Diddy Cup weekend. So, a couple of bits to get to before we do all that, because there's loads to cover. First up, international, young Alex, Jack Newman, Scotland under 21 squad. They play Spain on Monday night.
Easy work.
For I think it's the 2025 tournament, so keep an eye on what happens with them. Ronnie McLeod is away on international duty as well. Three players that Jim Goodwin alluded to yesterday that probably would have played in the Diddy Cup game. But taking a wee quick look at Friday night, Scotland got the job done.
Didn't half, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre just now watching Scotland because we're actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
There's
some great stuff.
Yeah, and normally you'd be like, all right, we've won four in a row. It's away to Cyprus. We should win. This is when we'll mark an absolute no hunt of it. But we were on easy street early doors. It was, it's pinch yourself territory. It really is. So they're doing absolutely brilliant. And surely they're qualified. Like I can, like technically they're no yet, but usually after so many games in the group, we're looking at other permutations to, right, how on earth are we going to be able to qualify? Because we've lost three and we hit a go here and get a win. But now we're looking at it the opposite way and we're thinking, okay, right, how can we mark an absolute howl on earth of this? And I would suggest that we can't. I mean, Spain away is going to be, that's going to be difficult, obviously. That goes without saying. Especially when they've got 16-year-olds that are just scoring goals and looking like the next coming of Messi or whatever. But we've still got like a Georgia away, Norway at home, I believe. So, I mean, everything's in our own hands. It's an unbelievable position to be in. And even if you mark a howl in there, so still got the fallback of a playoff place that you could get in. So I think it's safe to assume that Scotland will be in Germany next year.
The result goes our way on Tuesday, we can qualify,
correct,
obviously.
Correct, yeah.
So, and to obviously wet the whistle ahead of that, Scotland-England this week.
Yes, yes. Get them pumped, eh?
No, we're not doing so great.
Get them pumped. Again, it's only a friendly, but not really a friendly when you play them. So,
well, it's like that whole thing. I mean, if you bring it down to sort of club football, you know, a friendly, but us and the wee team up road, like it would get, it's an exciting game.
It'll be a full house. Mm-hmm. There'll be an expectant crowd. I would imagine the Scotland players will be up for it.
Oh, why would you not be?
Of course. Of course. I fully expect to pump them.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Is your dad on direction, Jay?
No, I'm just avoiding him until Wednesday morning. I don't want him in my life at present. Until Wednesday.
That's an incredible story, that the last Scotland game at Hampden and Paul trying to get him.
A disaster.
News this week, Charlie McGrew's retired.
Yeah, I mean, some would say he retired 12 months ago, but yeah, fair play to him. He had a great career. He didn't go out on a high, quite clearly, but he's probably made a lot of money. He's now on the TV, I believe.
Speaking about defending, by the way.
Is that right?
That's what he was doing. The other right? day.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I hope he didn't base it on his own experiences last season.
No. I think in time he said that he could sleep at night and whatever, but he was, like, I personally thought he was done last season. You could argue, nah, he wasn't. He just didn't have a good season. He was out of form playing on a poor team, but whatever made him a good defender in the years previous, he didn't seem to have any of the traits last year. So, all the best to him. He's a winner.
His mate Stephen Fletcher's rocked up at Wrexham. Same guy that said he couldn't be arsed driving for Gillespie at St Andrews.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm no good with geography, Rondo, but I'm pretty sure that Wrexham's further for his front door than St Andrews. I could be wrong.
I would also say there may be a wedge that's been dropped there for something
doubt.
Like that.
No doubt.
36.
No doubt. And he's maybe viewing it as a route into Hollywood. Who knows?
Who knows? But yeah, that was a couple of interesting moves, because I think we've said on one of them, like, you look at the players that left last season, and barely any have got a club. Mm. I mean, obviously, Mulgrew's now retired.
Edward is in India.
Edward's in India. Paul has still not got a club.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher's rocked up at Wrexham. So it's interesting there. I mean, Liam Smith obviously got a club and stuff like that, but I do wonder what a Paul or that does, or for there on in.
Well, he's not an old man, is he? Like, I mean, I think I said it after one, I think it was the Rangers game last year, I just thought his body can't cope.
No.
And albeit, again, he did come back and he finished the season in the team, but like, that's all you were getting for him latterly at Tannadice. He was able to play a couple of games and then his body would just let him down. And it's not even like it was the same injury all the time. It was just a different pair of him would crumble. So maybe he's looked at it and thought, nah, it's just not worth it. You'll end up on the rigs or something on a decent wage.
A couple of games have been moved for Friday night football. Our trip to the land of Steak Bridies has been moved for BBC Scotland Friday the 10th of November. And another game that's moved, which is clearly upset, are the right people. As part of our United 100 celebrations, the club has requested to reschedule the championship match against Arbroath. It's now been moved to Friday 27th of October, which is the 100-year anniversary of our inaugural match as Dundee United Football Club. Now, not only, because we'll get to it and Arbroath and everything, but are the right teams have got annoyed at this? The Huns, the mini Huns and the Ma. They're upset and I love it. Dick Campbell, on the other hand, had a right go yesterday about it.
Mm-hmm.
and saying like, you know, boys have got to work and all this kind of thing. Now, obviously, he then counteracts it by saying, ah, but if the TV move it to Friday, we're obligated to play that. Yeah, but it's still the same thing. Mm-hmm. The same premise. Your boys are still working. Like, mm-hmm. that's still the same. And he's saying it could still be on a Saturday or Sunday. It doesn't need to matter and all this. And it puts his players, his part-time players, at a significant sporting disadvantage, which I think's, I see his point, mm-hmm. but at the same time,
But then they're at a significant sporting disadvantage every week if they're a part-time team in a full-time league. Well, one thing. United haven't done anything wrong. Okay? They requested it. The league have okayed it. The league could have went, no, that's no happening. And then United would have just maybe appealed it. And then, but ultimately, it's the league that make the decision. So United have requested it, and that's fine. We've got our reasons for doing it. And as a United fan, well, that's a decent reason to move a game so that you could commemorate that occasion on the actual date. The fact that it's Arbroath game that's moving, like, it couldn't be any more convenient a game for every person involved, you would say, because these guys, they're part-time on a Friday, as Campbell's saying, but they'll be part-time on a Saturday as well. And again, he's saying, but they might hate at work. Well, there's 6 weeks' notice for you. Like, 6 weeks you've been given, so boys, if they're needing to take a half day off or whatever, so be it. You're in a professional football league.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it goes. And as he admitted himself, if TV moved it, then they would have had to.
Yep, contractually obliged. Yeah.
Exactly, but that's just the way it goes.
And he went and said, you know, I want the game this Saturday, I want players to get a rest after the work. He then said, we're going to play Dundee United, who are supposedly the best team in the league.
Yeah.
All my players will be coming from work.
Yeah. He's just got a bee in his bonnet about it, doesn't he?
I think so.
His nose is out of joint, but it's into them. Like, you just say to suck it up and go on with it. He'll probably use that as some sort of motivation for his side on the night. And don't be surprised if you see a flat back 10 for Arbroath. But again, we'll just say to get them pumped when they come along the road. I thought it was funny when he was on about putting supporters out and whatever. No, really.
No.
Like, it's only 15 miles along the road.
I guarantee the majority of his players are all based Edinburgh, Glasgow.
Of course.
So it's actually closer, you know.
I don't see his point at all. I don't think that's me being blinkered towards United. Like, United have requested something, the league have okayed it. It's not like it's Morton away or whatever, and we're asking people to cross the country. It's just down the road. Mm-hmm. It's 15 miles away. Just get on with it. Chances are you're not going to win anyway, Mr. Campbell. Whether we play it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, it doesn't matter. United should be winning that game.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Ah.
Steak Bridie's on a Friday. I'm up for that as well.
Definitely.
For the other
game. Yeah, I'm up for a Steak Bridie on any day of the week.
Any occasion. All right. The haircut equilibrium theory.
Mm.
You like this?
Are we allowed to speak about haircuts? We sit here with not a hair between us on our heads.
So, got a message this week, and I'm going to read it pretty much word for word, right? Morning, gents. Working offshore just now on the night shift, listening to the latest podcast. As always, fantastic. I wonder if you'd be interested in a theory on why we are much better this season than last. It's the haircut equilibrium theory. In essence, for a team to play at its best, the team's haircuts need to balance off. If you took all the players on a giant seesaw in order of their haircuts, it should balance out. For every show pony, you need a buzz cut. And we were too far balanced in one direction. Mulgrew, Harkes and Fletcher probably topped the seesaw on their own, but adding others like Sybil and a few others and the writing was on the wall. This season, we've reduced the show ponies and counteracted Declan Gallagher's hairband with Liam Grimshaw's skinhead, and the world is a much better place. Thank God we still don't have Scott Fraser. Keep up the fine work, you both do a cracker job. P.S. Didn't read my name out. If you speak about it, I don't want to be famous. What do you think of that?
He's put up some valid points. He or she has put up some valid points there. It's some of that is indisputable.
I couldn't help but picture the seesaw.
Same, yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm seeing in my mind's eye just now.
It's everyone on it. You know. But there's a lot of point. I mean, we always used to go on about like Scott Fraser touched his hair. Well, he'll actually get mentioned later on, I think. But yeah, it's an interesting
theory.
Yes, it is. And see when boys theory. Have clearly got too much time on the night shift. I'm all for it.
I mean, is he working in the pharmaceutical industry on the rigs?
It's actually Breaking Bad. He was just out his tits one night and thought, I don't know, he or she, this is the type of person that's looking in the mirror one day and thought, I've got beautiful hair, I might shave it off. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm needing a Brittany moment. Yep. I am absolutely put my tits here and I've went for it. So, yes, but there we go. I had to share it because when I was actually reading it to myself, I was hearing a wee snigger and I thought, that kind of be missed. That is good. Right, got some voicemails to go through. I'm just going to play them all just now because the post-match are as expected. But here's how they go.
When is Ronnie going to start announcing the half-time and full-time results of the other Scottish games? Because he used to love it. Not had it for a couple of seasons.
So, this is something I've not done for years, purely because most people have got a phone and whatever, and that's kind of the main reason for it. But it was a point, because, actually yesterday, I actually thought about doing it at half-time, because I actually had an extra break. Mm-hmm. But by the time I would have got to it, you're 5 minutes in, Abdi's probably tell you the scores, because I ended up really caring of it. But the last time would have been a season or two before COVID, I think. Mm. And purely it would be...
And is it your decision not to read them out?
No, I think it's just something that's just no happened, yeah, really, over time. But there's been obviously, like, if the fun were in the same league and they were getting a tonking or something.
Oh, you've got to announce that.
Aye. So I think that's always been a bit, that's maybe something we could do, but yeah, it's never been, I mean, half times, I don't think full times, I think you're kind of done by full time, but people just want out a lot of the time, so.
But it takes ages to get out of Tannadice, so it might be worth, maybe a shout, like.
Yeah, so see if I remember that. I mean, there's no, like, I've got plenty of him games this month to think about it, so. No. We could certainly have a look at doing that, but that was just something I wanted to, basically because I had a response, as what I'm getting at.
All right, guys, Richard from the States here. Hope all sorts going well. I'm still not sold on Jim Goodwin. I still think he's going to mess us up when we get to the tight games. But anyway, I think he's put together a really good starting 11. We know we're not very deep, but getting rid of Edward Scissorhands in the goal and Charlie the Snake Mulgrew has been excellent. And what I want to know is, do you think this starting 11 would have kept us up in the Premiership? I want to hear your thoughts on that, because we know they chucked us quite a few points. Because, you know, personally, I think there's nae Danny Granger that we go doing wee Walton in the goal. Like I said, when we had Dracula in the goal, who was scared the crosses, it was hard. So what do you think, fellas?
What do you think of that?
I think it's class that Richard's listening through the States to our nonsense, and he's got a funnier accent than us. But do I think that the current side would have stayed up? I'm not sure, to be honest. Like, one of the criticisms, and like Richard himself said that he's not sold on Jim Goodwin yet, one of the criticisms is, but he's just a Championship player. Can the boys you've brought in, they're just Championship players. And that's maybe the case. But I would completely agree with Richard in saying, if we had the players that we had last season and we swapped Birigitte and Jack Walton, I think we'd have been all right. I think it's that simple. For the rest of them, I'm not sure. Like they've not proved anything yet, and we're in the Championship. If they were to run away with this league, then you can maybe think, right, well, hey, give some of these boys a chance. But I don't know if that team would have kept us up. But the keeper would have been a massive upgrade. Of course, he would.
Even if you were to swap out Mulgrew and Edwards for, and I'm not saying it's Hole and Gallagher, although Gallagher's been playing at that level, but players of their type. Then I certainly think we'd be in a much, much better place.
Yeah, like you could probably
because you know what? They're no nonsense first and foremost.
No, of course. But we're in a no nonsense league. Mm-hmm. Like I can that the Premier's not exactly La Liga, but it is like a step up in standard, albeit no massive. I don't think, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether this team would have served us better last season in the top league or not. But I'm 100% convinced that Jack Walton would have been Jack Walton alone, and we didn't get relegated.
Yeah, there's a lot of what you could do about it, but it'd be interesting to see if you took.
We had Scott McMahon, like one example. We had Scott McMahon last season, and he was poor. Mm-hmm. we've got Scott McMahon this season, and he's looked excellent.
Yeah, again, there's the argument there, though. You know, look how many times he's played out of position. Put him a left back.
Yeah, he's got a steady run, and it's working because he's in a bit better play.
I'd certainly be interested to see, put out our best 11 this season against last season and see what kind of combined team you'd come up with.
Yeah.
You know, because I actually think, if I was to say to you, go and pick a back five.
Yeah.
I think right away you're putting three of the back five for this season in that. You're putting the two centre-halves and the goalie. First, and I'll hear that argument with MD, because you would.
Yeah.
Right? Your right back is up for debate. Your left back's up for debate. Right back, I'd probably put Grimshaw in just now, because I think he's been the steadiest with Abdi. Mm-hmm. But that's no counting against Sheep or Liam Smith. But I think just general, it's fresh as well.
Yeah.
Left back, I'd still say I'd probably put in Beattie, even though he's not a left back. But you know what I mean? So I'd be interested to see what kind of combined team, because I think we've got a lot more. We've got a lot more bit of dig about it, a bit of fight about it.
I think we're a better team. And I'm no
team collective.
Yes, that's what I mean. Than last season. But last season, if you look at the names individually, they're probably on paper.
But they weren't a team.
Exactly. But individually, you probably would have thought, well, I would hate him or what we've got now. But when you put them all together, it just turned to shit.
We've got a couple more after the full time I saw yesterday. Mm-hmm. You can imagine how these are going to go. Mm-hmm.
Big G Bear here, just saying, get that round you, McPake, you snaky bastard. Well done, good win the day. Done, played the right things, got the game done and dusted, and then played the youngins. Perfect. I'm on the shed.
You snaky bee. Oh my goodness. That'll be us after the airwaves next week. Brilliant.
And again, after full time, it might go similar.
All right, boys. Scott Blackburn here, calling you all the way from Chinatown, New York. Missed the game today, but it's a great result for the boys. That's that cup in the bag, along with the league title. Get that right up your James McPake. Get a fucking ball bag.
He's not the most popular of the United fans, is he?
I can't think why.
For one reason or the other. Similar to you, I can't put my finger on it, but that's class. That's class.
Thank you very much, David. Drop us a voicemail. Do it anytime. DonFoxPodcast.com. Click on the wee mic icon and you can get it to us. All right, before we actually talk to the game, we did add to the team this week. Jordan Tilson joined on a season-long loan from Ross County. Your words to me were how the mighty have fallen.
Yes, yeah, how the mighty have fallen. And that was not a slight on Jordan Tilson, who, when I got told from show we're away to sign the boy Jordan Tilson, I was like, who on earth is he? Oh, he's played, he's a Ross County player, he's played over 100 games. I was like, I've never heard of him. How has that happened? Has he been there for 10 years? No, just the three. Oh, so he's an ever-present in class. But yeah, when I says to you how the mighty have fallen, like it's a sign of where we are, that we're taking loan players from Ross County. And it must be strange. And again, I don't think I'm looking at this through tangerine tinted specs, but it must be strange for somebody like Jordan Tilson, who's going from a smaller team, albeit current league status they're above, to a bigger team. Because usually we loan players. We didn't loan players to Man United. Like we loan players to Montrose, and sometimes people check to see how they've got on.
Sometimes.
And Kelty. So you usually loan a player to a team that's like at a lower level. And yes, I get it. We are theoretically at a lower level, but we're a bigger club. So I wonder what Tilson thinks of it all. Does he think that he's picked up the lucky Wonka bar? Or he's bought the winning lottery ticket or something. So
what seems to have come out was, is for him, because he's not really played this season, it was a chance to go and play and compete, and compete for a championship, compete for a medal, compete, you know. And again, it's getting that competitive edge and playing in a good team. And like it's no a disrespect, but it's not like he's going to, you know, a lower championship club. Like he is going to the big fish. Yeah. You know,
of course, and the expectation is that we win the league, and he'll know that. That's possibly why, or one of the factors in his decision to come here. I would imagine another end is that Dingwall's miles away from anything and anybody, so that must be a factor as well. But he must. I do wonder if he thinks, Christ Almighty, like I was at Ross County and I've signed for this behemoth of a club now, albeit they're in the League of Fun, but this will only be a 1 year jolly, and then Like, I think he's out of contract at Ross County at the end of the season, so he's essentially he's on trial. You know, he's playing for a contract for next season and onwards, I suppose.
Yeah. So yeah, he come in and he was thrown right in to the action. Three changes to the team from last week. Now, obviously, you have said for the last couple of weeks, play the Burns.
Yes.
Get out of what the fuck. Move on. Let's know what happened. Yep. Every time I heard Jim Goodwin speak about it.
Yep. Never wavered.
Never, ever. And I thought, he's either got a brilliant poker face.
Yeah.
Or he's been very honest, or he's going to be a complete land bastard. One of the two. But to be fair, I'm true to his word. What is interesting, I'm fast-forwarding a little bit here, because in his post-match, he did sort of mention that we've got three out injured.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Mokrey, Sibbald, Dockery out injured in midfield.
Yeah.
And we've got three away with Scotland. And the three away with Scotland would have played, right? There's six boys out right away. So already, we're no doing to the numbers, but because again we're naming nine subs, there's three or four real youngins on there. When you actually look at the team, what could you have done to get a real balance of a team that gave you a chance? Now, what I said to Burpal Dave Hill for DUTV before the game was, I look both, we had the team sheet in front of us, and I said, I'll tell you what now, Dave, if that Dunfermline team beats that United team, fucking just shut the doors, man. Shut the doors.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and 100%. I know people have went, get it to fucking just play Burns. Don't want boys injured.
Yeah.
I see the point. I just think when you see the team was named, it's like, well, Ken, what? He's starting this shit. He's dropped the goal machine, right? So already I was worried for goals, right? Ross Graham's come in, no played a lot of football. Grimshaw, started. Tilson came in as well, and somebody else come
Fotheringham.
In. Fotheringham for Cujo came in. Again, Fotheringham's been in a round it. You know, Tilson's just joined, new player.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross Graham's come. So really, when you look at it, it's maybe been real, you know, one Jimmy Tilson just appeared, but again, needs must he had to play.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not sure what we could have done with it. And I know people say, we could have got injuries, and I get that, but I'm not sure how you could have picked a team with a bit of balance on it. You know what I mean? People were even saying, I can't believe Baragiti's going to play.
Yeah.
Come on.
But then there was talk through the week that Walton had picked up an injury. And obviously, I don't know if it was true and he was over it or, but if Walton did pick up an injury and obviously Newman was away with Scotland, then you were doing to Rory Adams, who I would have personally played yesterday, and Baragiti, Mr. Squad number list man. So that was where that shout was coming from. Mm. Plus you saw 40 of them in training.
Yeah, I think that's just a normal.
That's because there was no keepers.
Yeah, it's just a normal thing.
It was either him or the inflatable and he got the nod.
But it was a relatively strong team with those changes against a Dunfermline side that were forced again through injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and again, I think if MD's 50-50 yesterday, you didn't arrest them.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and again, you look with six boys, you look at the bench, you know, a lot of young boys on there for what it was. But
the worry for me, I've nailed my colours to the mast. The worry for me was injuries because you just had a look at the crowd yesterday, Rondo. Like, it's a tournament, it's a competition. The vast majority of United fans had no interest in. Just no interest in. And to see that team going out, it was a wee bit of a surprise, but I know that it wasn't a surprise to you because we'd been speaking about it through the week and you were like, it's not going to be many changes.
No.
But instantly you're just thinking, right, what can go wrong here? Because I'm not really fussed. It's a United game. You want them to win. But I wanted them to win with Scott Constable in the team, with Owen Stirton in the team, with Rory Adams in the team. But he's put out that side. And as soon as I saw that side, I thought, well, we'd better win. That side can't be losing the day. And I know that Dunfermline were without the wonder kid up front and Benedictus at the back.
That's how we couldn't sign him. He was injured.
Is that right? Good. Well, long may that injury continue.
See, while we're speaking about Dunfermline, you want to tell him, do you want to text you the other day when they were linked to a signing a striker?
Oh, Jakubiak.
What did I say to you?
You said he'd be a great signing for us because you're just constantly at the wind-up. So I'm actually thinking of blocking you. I just now don't believe anything.
He's got a shite name.
He does it. What sort of surname is Jakubiak?
Although, to be fair, you did point out, he is fast.
He's fast. What I said to you was, okay, like, I'll tack you on. You're saying he'll be a great signer. I was like, the only thing that he would give us that we maybe Dinahea's pace up front. That's it.
So
nothing else about him I want.
So I seen him in the stand yesterday, right?
Did you tell him he was shite?
Well, I was going to send a photo, I'd send it to you and say, that's us hijacking the deal. But you could see he was wee Dunfermline boys round him, but I was honest, I saw him for a mile and I thought, oh, I've got him here. But I just couldn't get it. I had a song and I had written for him. But they had nine out yesterday.
Yeah.
With cup tied suspensions and injuries, because Benedictus, he's got a big bet on.
Good.
So I thought then, Molt might get a kick a day. Because I thought he played really well. But Kim, I didn't actually notice at the time, that wee arsehole went to centre half.
And captain. Yep.
He was a wee arsehole, mind.
He was pulling boys' jerseys a day.
Nothing given.
He's a wee rat, honestly.
I'm also sure the lino on the far side was just guessing on offsides twice, I thought.
There was things that happened in front of the lino on the Dode Fox line. Like Kai, what was it that pulled him back? It was O'Halloran that pulled him back at one point in the second half. And I thought at first, because the way he dragged him and swung him round, I thought he's just dislocated his shoulder there.
Is that when he went down?
It was right in front of the linesman who gave nothing. Didn't see it, apparently. The ref, hopeless, didn't see it. Old man shouting for a red card. I was like, Dad, it's not even a foul. He's not going to get a red card. He's not going to get a yellow card. He's not going to get spoke to. The ref didn't give a foul. So
you just stick to Google Maps, Dad, right?
Cool your jets and figure out how you're getting him on Tuesday.
But yeah, it was, like I say, strong team to start with. So there was only one. We had to win that game.
100%.
And we started the game really well.
Mm-hmm. But we did, yeah. I thought first half we were excellent. And like you could probably look and say, well, it's obvious because we were 3-0 up at half time. But I just thought in general, we played really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at it for Goodwin's point of view, he's not caring that there's only 2,000 home fans at the game. He's not caring that people didn't really tack it that serious.
He's not caring that the podcast call it a Diddy Cup.
No, like, but he's come out and said, look, we want to win it, but it's not our priority.
Yeah.
He's being as honest as he can be. He's picked arguably the strongest team he could pick.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue about Cujo being on the bench or whatever. And he got the team up for it. Like for the get go, we were up for it, and we scored a couple of cracking goals. There's no really any complaints.
Kai following him effectively two assists the first two goals.
It's got to be two assists. The first cross was absolutely brilliant. He's got no space to get that cross in. He's got no right to get it in, and he doesn't. It's on a plate for Louis Moltz in the area that you want your striker to be in.
So, nearly missed the goal,
mm-hmm.
because I was writing something down on my notepad, and because I thought, well, Kai's not going to go anywhere there.
Yeah.
And I looked up, and I nearly said, Noel Hunt.
No.
And Louis Moltz just went,
and he's shushing the crowd.
And the only reason I can at that point, it was Louis Moltz that scored. It's called Alistair Lament for the BBC basically screamed, Molt! And I went, oh, and pressed the button. And I'll tell you, I took a guess. Like, I was convinced. I just thought it must be him. He was getting dogs abuse for the Dunfermline fans.
Well, he gave it back.
Loved it. Huh? But what for?
I've no idea. Yeah, maybe there's history there, I don't know. I've no idea. No idea. But what a great goal. Like, great cross for Kai.
Great finish the seconded for the defender.
Brilliant. But again, it was Kai putting the bar in a dangerous area. And the defender, he's had a howler, has he? It's in them where he's got to do something, but
Christ, he's got to put his foot on it.
Yeah, but Christ almighty. It's hellish.
Yes.
It's just a terrible, terrible decision.
And that was 34 minutes in. I think at that point we were in complete control. I think we had about 70% of the possession.
Yeah.
There are a couple, they'd hit the post though. Yeah. And then how the boy doesn't even get the second. Can they do a shot on target?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because post no on target.
And
yeah.
You might see.
The boy with the glasses, he had the rebound, did he?
Andrew Todd. There's one of them. I don't think. I can't mind if it's the McMahon. Kevin, he gets winded, hits him right. It's a great block.
That was a good block.
I'm not sure if it's that in or it's when Ross Graham clears it. But Jack Walton's obviously in position and does the fake dev, so as if he was diving down on the bar. I just thought,
he's bored.
I thought, I like him. And then the second half, clearly, he was just, like his showers and tactic. He's going to pick up the odd booking for time wasting, right? And I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Because like we've just said, he is a massive upgrade to Custard Hands, Edward Scissorhands, call it what you want.
Papa Domrest.
Papa Domrest. But he has certainly been an upgrade. But we're 2-0 up there, and I was starting to think we're getting another couple. It could be could be class. But then it was glass.
Yes, and it was class. And it was class.
Unreal.
He's probably the only guy on the park that can score that goal. Mm-hmm. You see it now and again where you'll tut an extra touch and you'll lose it and you're like, fucking should have just hit it.
Yeah.
But now and again, like he's gonna dazzle defenders and put the ball in the pokey. And I think that he's been class the last few games. It really has been.
Two things I'm going to mention, right? So the first thing is, I love the fact Jim Goodwin calls him Decky.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely nobody else calls him that. You just can.
But maybe he calls Gallagher.
Calls him Decky too.
Is that right?
Yeah, calls him Decky as well. The second thing is, apart from his teammates, his manager, his friends and family, I don't think there's two people more happy for Declan Glass than us two.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have shouted about Declan Glass for a long time. Declan Glass come on this podcast, didn't have to come on, was an absolute delight. And a wee bit like we said about Young Ertz before, there's an altade on Young Shudders there. When you look at the injuries he's come back with, he's been put on loan umpteen times. I mean, how many splinters did he get in his arse last season?
Enough, a lot.
You know, really struggled. He was, you know, training with the Bairns. Goodwin says, no, come back in with us, work hard. And he really believed in him. And I always thought it was interesting when he said that he wanted Glass and Chalmers when he was at Alloa on loan. Mm-hmm. Chalmers already departed.
Yeah.
Glass has took an opportunity. Now, people jump on a lot of the young boys, and there has been a few that have been there for years, and they're like, it's last chance. And we've said this a few times. I think everyone's said this about certain players.
You could probably put Declan in that category.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you can't.
Yeah.
But he just now, we are a manager that clearly has believed in him. I don't think Declan Glass has been on a run of this amount of action.
Probably
minutes not on the park. I mean, he even completed 90 minutes yesterday. Let's not put that down. Because I have shouted about that twice this season. It's not happened. But for everything we'd seen and forgetting to speak to him and seeing what he's like, and he clearly loves playing football. He got rewarded this new contract, a horrendous injury. And what was it like? How many games did he play at Partick when he got injured?
I'm pretty sure that was his first game.
So, really, really bad. And then you're seeing him that. I mean, I kind of mind the game that you actually gave him man the match. I mean, people like Nate Danger and Kenny wasn't great and all this. And I think he's been really good. But yesterday, and you weakened teams and all this, but you are so right. On the park yesterday, he's the only one that does that.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant goal.
Great goal. Great goal. Great bit of skill. Great finish.
Take it back 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. For a man I was raging at yesterday for a while was Glenn Middleton.
Yeah.
What he does at the start of that cannot be taken away because he was brilliant. He
tracked back, got the bar comfortably off of O'Halloran, I think it was, and he's gave it to Glass. And Glass, people were saying, Glass started and finished that move. Kind of, but Middleton done a wee bit of donkey work to get the bar back. When a lot of boys in his position didn't, they'll not track back. But just in general, the whole team working really hard, especially in the first half yesterday. Like, you can't accuse any of them yesterday of thinking it was the Diddy Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Like, miss fans, even fans that were at the game yesterday. Of course, like I keep saying it, of course you want to win, but, again, if you're going to lose any game, then whatever. Like, it's the Diddy Cup. I'm not that fussed. But you can't accuse any of the players of not being up for it. Like, they were clearly sent out onto that pitch to do a job, and they did it very well.
It's the same as, like, I didn't see MD with that in their mind. CMD, when it come to a 50-50, no going in for it.
No.
Or Bodie's on the line when a shot needed blocked or a cross came in, and it was also interesting in September, a water break.
Yeah, just after it had finished running. Yeah, bizarre, Yeah. It was fucking roasting yesterday, though, Rondo. I don't know.
It's cold where I was.
Well, it's usually freezing where you are, but sitting in that sun, my God.
And I actually had to make a point to a member of the hierarchy at United that it's cold up here because there's no new area gear being dished out yet. So I'm just leaving that in there,
What was the area deal? Is it a 2-year deal or something?
Four.
Well, you'll get something in 5 years.
Oh, probably.
When they've no Celtic in the shop, you'll get a GLA for your area on it.
Again.
As United run out in an Adidas kit.
Somebody's initials tore off it. But no, it was Yeah, it's always a wee bit, but I do always think that. And the amount of people didn't bring out like, sunglasses or hats or either was crazy.
Me, I forgot my hat. Unbelievable. It was roasting yesterday.
Didn't go bed?
No.
Name on I left.
Name on
I left. Your voucher.
For the tickets. Right, so I bought the tickets on Friday, and then I took the wee man to his foot bar on a Friday with the Community Trust. And they're no dishing out tickets for it. I was like, you kidding me? I could have saved myself 20 quid here. Ah, scunnered. So hopefully we'll get him to in the next round.
Yes, indeed. 3-0 up half time.
Easy street.
Mm-hmm. What did you expect at the start of the second half?
Wholesale subbies.
I thought you might say that.
Gab the off.
Didn't happen.
It didn't happen. No, and that's it. You can never accuse Jim Goodwin of not taking a game serious. Like, he wanted that game won.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wanting the momentum to continue because we're on such a good run. We've only conceded one goal in something like 8 games. Mm-hmm. I think we've won 7 of the 8 games. And yes, I'm including the Carlisle friendly. But, like, that's something that the players will be, like, trying to hold on to. They will want that record to remain intact.
7 unbeaten now.
Yeah, yeah. But we just looked comfortable. I know that Dunfermline had a couple of shots across the bows, if you will, like crosses that looked dangerous, but nothing that had had troubled Jack Walton at all.
No, I think there was a lot there, and it probably shows the standards for the players on the park. Like, there's one moment, for some reason, Declan Gallagher's in our dugout, but this is after the subbies, which we'll touch on in a second, but running back, he says, I'll put it in the nice words. He says, could you back to coming out? Can remember your responsibility here?
But he said it in Ghanaian, I take it. Well, something like
Mare Lochy, I'll be honest. He was mere to the point.
Okay, right.
You know, there may have been a get, an F, back, yes. Now added to it.
Well, that's fair enough.
And
universal.
But again, at 3-0 up, 70 minutes gone, the standards there. No, just doesn't just run past him. He's telling him, get back. Because again, clean sheet. You love a clean sheet.
Of course.
So there was a lot of that. And I just think because those type of players are in there, they are going to drive
the
standards.
Yeah, standards, yeah.
You know? I think it was very early in the first time I had to touch on, I thought the boy John Tilson was about to put in the top bin after about 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he was very good yesterday. Mm. I really did. Considering 4 days previous, I'd never heard of him. And now he's
4 hours.
4 hours previous. I didn't care kind of why he was, what he looked like, anything about him. But I thought he was very good yesterday. Now I get it was against maybe Dunfermline's second string midfield or whatever, but you can only play against what you're up against. And he definitely fits the mould of what we were needing, in that you didn't have Docherty and you didn't have Sybil, so you needed somebody to do the dirty work, and he looks like he's got that in his locker. That's obviously going to be his strong suit rather than Declan Glass, who just wants to get the bat and pass it. So they went well together.
Well, that allowed Declan today.
It did.
Second half then, so Cudjoe comes on for Midland 64 minutes, and Owen Stanton came on. He is the first graduate from the Baldrangan Performance Centre.
Yeah, the white Drogba. He looks good.
Now, don't take what I'm about to say over the top or overly serious, right? Because I made a reference yesterday to what he was similar to, but I didn't mean it in the context. So I'm going to just correct myself here and tell you what I said. So we're talking about academy graduates after the game, right? And it's great to see Scott Constable, who I'd never heard of, and I didn't mean that, but disrespectful, only if you've mentioned, right?
Now.
So he's come on. And you've got obviously the young boys who we know, Flynn Duffy, delighted to see him get on the park. But I said yesterday after a game about the boy starting, I says, it's like the water's changing a wee bit at the academy, because he's very much not the mould that we have been developing.
Big lad, eh?
Well, first and foremost, he is tall. He must be 6'2 or something.
Yeah, he's
and I just thought, there's something going on there. And the word they used, maybe the initials DF, right? But I said, because he's a big guy, we're not seeing that for the academy of late. They've all been smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, oh, this is something very interesting. 16-year-old, born in 2007, Paul. That you were like 30 then.
Yes.
So, and it made me feel really old. United fan. Must have been living the dream when he come on yesterday.
Amazing.
And it came, and you know the thing as well, wasn't it 5 minutes?
No. Put yourself a boot as well.
25 minutes.
Yeah, put yourself a boot.
Loads to learn, but I looked at him yesterday and just thought, this is something different for what we are producing. Because many times, I mean, we've said on and off air, and you said, man, some of the boys are half a wee, or there's not other need to fill. How many times have we said, need to fill out, wait till they fill out?
Too often. Even Scott Constable looks like he's got a bit of boot him. But starting yesterday, yeah, it was noticeable, because you could see these guys in the academy games, and you might think, he stands out a bit, but he's up against boys of a similar age, and you do get like quite wee players at that age group. But now, don't get me wrong, he's clearly going to fill out, because he does look quite thin just now, but like, he's got height about him. He seems to be decent in the air. He's got a good touch. And I know it was only 25, 26 minutes or something, but he done himself nae harm, or maintaining his place in and around the squad. And it's a position that we need. We need cover different. For. And I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we're going to be relying on young Stirton. He's only 16. Like, he kind of be the fallback if Louis Moult does, touch wood, hopefully it never happens, but if he was to pick up an injury that kept him out for a period of time, I don't think that we're in a position to say, right, we can rely on Owen Stirton. But if he can get fed into games when we're hopefully cruising and build up his experience and his minutes, it's only going to serve him and the club very well.
Yeah, and the interesting thing for me was the stature about him, the height about him, that we've just not seen for the academy, whether that's, again, they're feeding them now or whatever. I don't know. But it was nice to see someone a bit different had come out.
Yeah.
Because I think for a lot of times, a lot of similarity. Like, we went through this phase of tapping ball-playing midfielders and trying to turn them into ball-playing centre-halves. Just leave them in midfield.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But, I mean, you look at it, like, look at
Lewis Nielsen
now.
Yeah.
Where is he now? On loan.
For Hull, yeah.
Because he should have been
yeah,
stayed as a centre midfielder, or he should have stayed at United,
100%,
right?
Yep. And 100%.
Played. But and then you look at like Kerr Smith was a midfielder. Mm-hmm. He's playing with centre half.
Yeah.
He went in midfield, says one.
Yeah.
Could see why they think of the big guy.
But in defence of that point, like, how many times do we speak to, when we're lucky enough to get guests on and it'll be a striker, and you say, so have you always been a striker? No, I started here. So there's obviously something where people that are a wee bit more football savvy than us when it comes to coaching individuals, they must look and think, oh, he's got the tools that you need. Kenny's playing in midfield. He wants to play in midfield just now, but we could mould him into a top-notch centre-half or whatever it may be. So I think that's why that happens. But you're right. Like, if somebody's 14 years old and they're absolutely excelling in a certain position, fucking just let them excel in that position. Like, it's no, don't overcomplicate it. Like, if that's what their strength is, then crack on, make them better at what they're already good at, rather than trying to reinvent them.
Full time whistle goes, job done. Quite happy.
So, delighted. You go to see United game and you win, and James McPake's traipsing down the other side of the park. He's push tripping him. I didn't see him put any fingers or any. Was there any of that yesterday?
No.
They gloating that he got out there with just a three. I was a wee bit pissed off, because when it went three, I was like, how good would it be to give him another six? Him and his team, get them pumped.
Did it feel, and I'm not comparing the teams directly, but it was a wee bit like Scotland on Friday. It was just second half was a bit.
Cruised it, yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
But
it was good, because it allowed us to give Owen Stirton a game. It allowed us to put Scott Constable on to get, like, I know he got 10 minutes or whatever last week, but he got a wee bit more this week.
10 minutes? He got 10 seconds last week.
Well, 10 seconds, sir. But there was a lot of injury time, was there not?
Oh.
I can't mind. But anyway, we got ourselves into such a comfortable winning position that it allowed that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a positive. And hopefully, because we're still in this Diddy Cup, hopefully, If the gaffer does play a strong lineups in future rounds, then it's a case of get yourself in a winning position. Because, like, I joking aside, see, when you see the teams that are left in that rondo, like, United should win that cup. Like, United should, would have been favourites anyway before yesterday's results. But when you see the teams that are actually left in it, United should win it if they want to. But it's, you just didn't know.
So
Kenver Mate Martin's choking for the new Saints away.
Well, you're looking at teams that are through, certainly. Falkirk, TNS, Queen's Park, Hamilton. They're a horrendous time. They were still at Edinburgh Airport yesterday morning.
Good.
Airdrieonians, Queen of the South, Morton, they beat Elgin City 2-1. East Kilbride, Kelty Hearts, Sean Dillon's 11. Dick Campbell's dicks. Peterhead, Raith Rovers, who beat Cliftonville, East Fife, and there's one more game to play, which I think is the Rangers B against Alloa. I think it's the only other game for the third round. So, yes, we should win that cup.
Well, you should. There's only four games to play to actually win it. But even if we get to the final, and then I think I'm wrong in saying this, there'll still not be that much interest. Like when we got to the final last time, we took 3,500 fans mm-hmm. to that game.
Yeah.
As per a bunch of United fans that go at a lot of games, that's no very many. Like if United get to a League Cup final or a Scottish Cup final, we take a lot more than 3,500 fans. So that kind of shows you that nobody really cares about that tournament. As I said last week, it's a bit embarrassing that you're in it because it tells you exactly where your team is as a club at that moment in time. But like, if you're in it and if we're going to be putting out strong lineups at the time, then you've got to be winning it.
Yeah. The fourth round is the weekend of October 14th and 15th. There is no seeding in it. Everyone's just in the draw. The quarterfinals are the weekend of November 18th, 19th. The semi-finals would be the weekend of the 3rd and 4th of February. And the final takes place on the weekend of March 23rd, 24th. But as you say, Paul, if we're staying in it, certainly should be in it to win it.
Well, we'll have won the league before we win this trophy.
Oh, we'll have 100 points or something like that. The easy stuff.
Of course.
So that was that. Nice and easy. I thought the referee took a long book. Jordan Tilson, amazingly, that was the first booking that was in there. Another strange day of officiating and poor offside decisions and all that jazz. But like I say, we are through. The one man we have to ask, or one man to get, is who would be your man of the match?
I would have gave it to Declan Gloss. I thought he strolled it again yesterday. I thought Kai was very good for the majority of the game. But it was just generally a good team unit.
And
team performance.
Impressed yesterday. Despite you not knowing him, but what you seen for John Tilson yesterday?
Yeah, he was very good. It'll be a bigger test next week against Morton, obviously, because it's a league game. You would imagine, not that we weren't up for it, but you would imagine that there's obviously a wee bit more at stake because it's a league game. Three points are probably bigger in my eyes.
And it might be the same midfield two start.
It might be, yeah. And like, it wasn't a surprise that Tilson got a game yesterday, even though I was thinking, right, I would play the Burns, but I would have gave Tilson a game because he hadn't played for a while. Mm-hmm. So just to get him up to speed. But in hindsight, or in foresight, if you're Jim Goodwin, it made sense to give him and Declan Glass a run out together because they're probably, for the next few weeks anyway, from what you hear about Doherty and Sybil's injuries, they're probably going to be a mainstay in the middle of the park for us.
Morton, obviously up next, like you've mentioned, out the starting 11 yesterday. How is it changing for your starting 11 this coming week?
Once again, I'm going to...
Goal machine back in?
Yeah. Ross Graham was all right. He had a couple of shaky moments, but he didn't... he was part of a defence that kept a clean sheet. I think there was one stray pass where he didn't look and he gave it to them and they broke away. I think that's when McMahon had the block.
He's not played a lot, but...
No, of course.
Again, once he settled down.
Of course. And he's not had the chance to build up any sort of understanding mm-hmm. with anybody because he's not been playing. But I think it would be harsh on Kevin Holt to leave him out next week. I think you've got to mm-hmm. put him back in. And that's no slight on Ross, but I just think he was there yesterday to get some game time. Mm-hmm. And again, like...
So Holt's coming in, so that's your back five. Keep Grimshaw right back?
Yeah, I would just now, yeah.
Midfield, Tilson and Glass probably need to start. Watt will probably start. Molt, what are you doing in the wings?
I'm keeping Kai in that team, and I'm probably swapping out Cujo for Middleton. Yeah. Ronnie, come back. Rondo, come back. No finish yet.
Anyway.
Here he is.
You're good, bad and the ugly.
Oh, I'm a good, bad and ugly, Rondo. That is a fair point. No, I'd had two beers last night, so I was absolutely bloated, and that's when I and that's when I wrote this.
Oh no!
So my good
getting slated for the scran van today.
My good Declan Glass continues his good form. We always hoped that he'd get a chance, and now that he is hopefully starting to show exactly what he can do. Still a ways to go for him, but there are definite positive signs. The bad was that we only sent McPake back to Fife with a 3-goal defeat. We should have really pumped his mob. And the ugly. Well, I never bought any coke this week, but I'm hearing mare tales of the coke, and I use that name loosely, once more being nothing like coke. You'd think for just shy of £3 you could get a cup of actual Coca-Cola. Apparently no at Tannadice though. Absolute robber barons.
Right, let's do our A to Z of Dundee United. Craig Easton took E last week. This week we are on to F. Would you like to start with your notable mentions, dishonourable mentions and all that jazz first, Paul?
We could do. Well, yes, yeah. The first notable mention, it has to be George Fleming. 340 games, 37 goals. Signed for $7,000 at the start of Jim McLean's tenure at the club, and he was one of the experienced players tasked with improving the team, but also helping nurture the young lads that were to come through. He'd be a near ever-present in his 8 years at the club and was famed for wearing white boots. When nobody wore white boots, really, Rondo. He also collected a League Cup winner's medal and in 2013 was inducted into the Hall of Fame. We also made like a $3,000 profit on him because in 1980 we sold him to St Johnstone. In fairness, I think you would maybe agree with this, but George Fleming probably should win this. However, we weren't fortunate enough to see him because he was away when we were, well, you weren't even here and I was a bit. So he gets the main notable mention. He probably should be the person that wins this. And notable mentions, I've got Willow Flood. Mm-hmm. I've got Jondo Fuchs. Mm-hmm. I've got Scott Fraser. Mm-hmm. I've got Hamish French. Mm-hmm. I've got Victor Ferreira. I've got David Fernandez, because he was a good player. And I've also got Joachim Faraz, because he scored two winners in Dundee Derby. Mm-hmm. And a dishonourable mention, and this is a personal thing, like Warren Feeney. I just didn't like him, eh? I just didn't like him. So he gets a dishonourable mention.
So I will take your dishonourable mention and I will raise you Gustavo Fuentes.
Yes, well.
Rank rotten.
Hopeless, yeah.
Honourable mentions. Scott Fraser, bowler, yeah. Great hair.
Was. You taught him everything he knows?
Did. Played him at undefeated PSV team, yep, at the J-League back, yep, in the day.
Yep, I remember you.
Absolutely pumped.
I remember you bragging about that.
Oh, unbelievable. David Fernandez, classy bastard. Jondo Fuchs, cult hero, so missed when he left. Mm-hmm. I guess a wee bit of notable mention, right? Fraser Fivey, injury in Laszlo killed him. Mm. Should have been a mainstay in a midfield for years. But rush back for injury, was never the same player.
I saw Fivey, and obviously he was a good player, but he was in the Championship. He was a good player.
Joachim Faraz, Derby winner, like you said.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw in at you, Paul. Ian Ferguson. Purely because I never seen him play.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that means that we're two picks then?
Yes.
Okay, right. So the person that's going to win it this week, folks, is Ian Ferguson. He played for the bad guys. He played for Dundee, the Rangers, Hearts. He scored for Dundee in the game when we won the league. He scored for the team formerly known as Glasgow Rangers in the 1984 League Cup final against us. And he also scored for Motherwell in the 1991 Scottish Cup final. In short, he did very well against us. But when he signed for us, he was exceptional. He was part of the European run in 87. He scored in the 87 Scottish Cup final too when we were absolutely robbed against St Mirren, Rondo. He lobbed Henry Smith for about 45 yards in front of the shed, pointed at him and laughed. And who can ever forget he scored in the New Camp for us. For me, from the list of players that I have saw play for the club whose surname begins with F, Ian Ferguson is the best. Would you like my second pick, Rondo?
The floor is yours.
Duncan Ferguson. 88 games and 35 goals. Big Dunk. He came onto the scene and Tannadice and wee Jim didn't ken what had hit it. He scored 35 goals for the club, but likely picked up more than 35 fines in his time at the club. He was part of a new crop of players that came through around the same time, McKinnon, Connolly, Daly, Cleland, and he'd arguably go on to be the best of the bunch. also netted the club a British record transfer fee at the time when he headed west to play for the Blue Erscheek. Big dunk.
All right, here we go. My first choice is Duncan Cowan Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Is that his middle name?
Cowan. Yeah. He was one of a kind, the man who made Jim McLean crack in the end. Top goal scorer 91-92, cap for Scotland. He then moved on, helped build a stand, but he was a shite bag and ran away for the Hilton Huns. So, as you could probably tell from the notable mentions of some of the other players, I've only really got one F left. I didn't see Ian Ferguson, despite him being a podcast pal. And really, if you're asking me where I picked him, well, because of the goals he scored against me in big games, no, I wouldn't, right? But I have had to opt for William Flood. Mm-hmm. 5 foot 6.5 inches of pure anger. 4 spells at Tandice. Gave you none less than 100%, and he had an absolute meltdown in this final game when he was sent off. I think it's going to be a fight out between the Fergusons.
Yes.
I do think Ian Ferguson will win it, but I think a lot of people will side with Big Dunk because it's Big Dunk.
Because they're fair to him.
And they're shitebags.
I guess he's keeping an eye on the pole himself.
So there we go. Yeah, it's going to be... And this is the thing, that some of these letters, I mean, people have went doing the listening already, went, oh, how are you going to pick between them? Some of them are absolutely horrendous. Mm-hmm. And even picking two is going to be quite tough. I mean, 1 week there might be 10 players up for a vote. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that is your A to Z of Dundee United. You will be able to vote for over on Twitter on Tuesday. Right, Paul, over you. Any players you care to forget in this week's Lord Report?
No, I've done my job very well this week, Rondo. So the loan report. Through the week, there was a battle of two low knees as Logan Chalmers' heir took on Leighton Bislin's Falkirk in the Diddy Cup down at Somerset Park. In front of 1,400 fans, it would be Falkirk that came out on top and progressed into the next round. As for the battle, the two players would only be up against each other for 11 minutes, as Leighton was introduced into the match in the 72nd minute, whereas Logan started this one but was then withdrawn on 83. Miller Thompson at Montrose.
Is he at Montrose? Well, you never mentioned that last week.
Well, again, I've spoke about it, but I'll say it again. An apology to Miller and you listeners. I told you last week that Miller was injured and that he played nae part in his side's 3-2 away win down in Dumfries, and I was wrong. Young Lazarus Thompson not only recovered from his hamstring injury the week before, but he recovered well enough to play the full 90 minutes against Queen of the South. He'd done well, I did not. As for this weekend, he'd make the trip north with his Montrose mates for this Daft Cup match against Cove, and he'd start. He'd also play the whole match as Montrose progressed into the next round of the Cup match with a 2-0 win over Mark Reynolds and his band of hopeless bastards. Nae goals or assists for Miller, but our old mate Sean Dillon did get an assist for the second goal, Rondo. You never lose it. Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty. Lewis continues his run of games at Kelty as he'd start the match and play well as Kelty were away at Dumbarton on Saturday. He'd get 81 minutes of the game and would help his side to a 3-1 victory on the day. The women's team. I've already touched on it, but there's yet another apology required for me. Last week, I said that the team had lost all 4 league games and that they had played up to last Sunday, and of course, that was wrong. What makes my mistake worse is that the game that they actually got a point from, Hibs at home, I was bloody there. Anyway, the ladies headed for Hamilton last week, looking to get their first win of the season. I've been very vocal so far in my concerns about the team's lack of goals, but 10 minutes in and my puss was firmly shut. Rachel Todd scored directly from a corner in 5 minutes, and then in the 10th minute, the tally was doubled. Joe Fraser was upended in the box, and the ref had no option but to point to the spot. Cue captain Rachel Todd stepping up and getting hers and the team's second of the day. Easy street. By half-time, they headed for the changing rooms 3-0 up, courtesy of a Leah Sidey header. Early into the second half, and 3 went to 4. Another penalty, and yet again the skipper Rachel Todd duly dispatched it. A hat-trick for El Capitan. Hamilton would claw one back in the 54th minute, but the 4-goal cushion was once again maintained when Claire Delworth would slot home from a Leah Sidey layoff. The latter part of the game saw Hamilton coming back into it, and they would score another couple of goals to make the scoreline look a little bit better but it was in truth a comfortable win for United and was a much-needed 3 points for them. It wasn't all good news on the day, however, as Emma McMurdo was stretchered off in injury time at the end of the match and keeper Megan Sidey broke her foot in the match too. As we record this today, the team are at home to the Rangers. Another tough afternoon is in store. But they do so with a new goalkeeper, and they have re-signed Aaliyah J. Meach. Now, some of you will remember when we started putting this podcast out that Aaliyah was the keeper for the women's team back in the League One or whatever it was, the Premier League Two, I can't remember what you call it. And Aaliyah was a very good keeper for United, and then she moved up to Aberdeen when they got promoted. So I think it's a good signing for her, good signing for the team. And right, regardless, they could have Buffon in the goal today. It's going to be a struggle, but it's a good signing, and good luck to the ladies.
There you go. Right, the Community Trust have their autumn fair taking place in the Heggy on Sunday, 24th of September. All starts at 12 p.m. You get details at dundeeunitedct.co.uk. And of course, if you want to join the foundation, I've got more information on the brilliant work that they're doing, dusf.scot. Right, on this day, in association with the Arab Archive, preserving the history of Dundee United Football Club since 2006. The 11th of September is our focus today, Paul. I've got a fair mix of games for you. In 1965, we pumped Lifun.
Yes.
5-0 at the dump. Finn Dawson scored a hat-trick. Dennis Gillespie scored, as did Lennart Ring, from the penalty spot. And what was United's biggest ever Dundee derby went to the point and will forever be remembered by Arabs as the Dens Park Massacre of 1965. A song was even written in honour of this famous derby victory, and Dundee fans of a certain age still have nightmares whenever the name Finn Dawson is mentioned. A Gordon Wallace goal in 1976 was enough to claim the points versus Celtic, who had a certain Kenny Dalglish up front, podcast pals McAlpine, Roland, Sturrock, Hegarty and Payne all played in the United team that day. We had another Dundee derby win to mention, but I've completely not written down the year for this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Andy McLaren's header past Paul Mathers.
Right, I'll tell you when that was then. The stand, the Eddie Thompson stand was getting built. So that would be 93-94?
Pass.
That's what I'm telling you.
Right, okay.
93-94.
All right, fair enough.
I was there.
A trip to Sheepsville in 2002. Saw United go behind after just 3 minutes before a Stephen Thompson double before half-time claimed a win for the good guys. And then the Martin Molesters were at Tannadice in 2010. United flew into a 3-0 lead after just 9 minutes. Goals from John Daly and David Goodwill at either side of a Mark Howard OG had us in full control. We went on to win the game 3-1. I remember the start of that game and it was chaos.
Yeah,
I think I missed the John Daly goal. I don't think I'd seen that goal.
Disappointing to only beat them 3-1.
After me 3-0 after 9 minutes. I'm positive I missed the Daly goal.
Yeah,
that day.
I remember
he scored for the spot.
I can't even remember what Mark Howard is.
Goalie.
Was he the goalie?
Pretty sure he's a goalie. Yeah. So
hopeless goalie, obviously.
Only the one signing today, one modern day signing. The rest were very older signings in the 40s and 50s and stuff like that. Following a trial period where the club, Mickey Mellon signed Flo Hottie on this day in 2020.
Yeah, never really done anything for us, did he? He come on a couple of times and looked like he might offer something, but it never really materialised. So
he's now playing at like Halifax or something like that.
Probably earning more than he get. He would have got it.
Probably. But that is it. Back to the real stuff. And next weekend then, Greenock Morton at Tannadice. Don't forget we are at Dode Fox Podcast on social media. You can check out the website, leave us a voicemail, dodefoxpodcast.com. Do have a great week. Stay safe. And don't forget, as always, keep up those hygiene levels. Wash your hands and your arsehole.